knowing people, knowing, you know, where to look online. I mean, even just staying educated on top of your game can lead you to some surprising pathways to opportunities.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of The Cusp Show, the Columbia University Sports Podcast, where my partner, Joe Favorito, and I, Tom Richardson, speak of the business of sports with all kinds of different people from the industry. It's been a really fun ride for now 5.5 years. Actually, no, Joe, wait a second.
It'll be 6 years.
I just realized that we're
in January will be 6 years.
Well, no, technically we recorded our first show in December of 15.
Was that with Neha?
Neha. It was December of 15. It was before the holiday break.
Yeah. And it didn't work. Remember, we had to go back and do it again.
We did the best we could. It was, and we're still low tech, but that's cool. You know, using Zoom over the last year and a half. But yeah, man, 6 years. I keep saying five and a half, but I can now change that to six and round off.
And just to be clear, so Tom, you're Tom, and I'm Joe. Just wanted to make sure that we had that. There's a little bit of a confusion there for a second.
Yeah. Anyway, so normally we're talking to friends and acquaintances and contacts from the industry. And we've had so many interesting guests on in 2021. It's been a momentous year. But behind the scenes, we've gotten some outstanding help from our two producers, whose names you guys have all heard, the listeners have heard off and on over the last, since fall of 2020. Mm-hmm. So we're talking of Ben Walsh and Taylor DiBernardo. And hard to believe, Joe, but those guys are graduating from the program next month. It's kind of an amazing
thing. AKA unemployed. So.
Well, we'll talk about that. Yeah. But anyway, we thought it'd be really nice to chat with Ben and Taylor. They've just been terrific as both as students and as producers of the show and as friends and now industry colleagues. And it's been an absolute pleasure to work with them. And we really appreciate the help they've given us. And I think one of the fun things, we've heard this from our old producers, Joe, or, you know, we've kept up with our old producers like Maurice Eisenman and James Appel and Roddy and the rest, is that one of the really fun things is this chance to meet so many interesting characters. You think about the diversity of guests we've had, the topics we've covered, the fascinating conversations we've been in. It's really been fun, not only for us, but also the folks that are listening in and helping out. And for the last year and a few months, that includes Ben and Taylor. So we thought it might be fun to actually chat with them today. And in the spirit of the way we handle all these shows, it's very informal, very conversational. As I like to say to people when I describe our podcast, it's almost as though someone's eavesdropping on a lunchtime conversation about the industry or something like that. So we're just going to chat with them about a few different things. And Joe, if you're ready to go, I'll throw out the first question.
So,
but maybe you want to say a little bit more.
I want to touch on two things. One is, while Ben and Taylor, yes, they're students in our class, but they've got really cool stories on their own, no different from some of the other guests that we've had. So I'd love to kind of have them kind of just talk for a couple of minutes about, you know, soccer and for some reason, the Colorado Avalanche and all the other stuff with Taylor. The other thing that I really want to acknowledge, because they did this in a very unusual time, is we have never done one of these in person with them. Everything that we've done, sadly, has been this way. And, you know, Tom, you and I have picked up the cues of watching video and pointing fingers, which at some point our guests think we're pointing at them, which is pretty funny. Right. But these guys have done a tremendous job and, you know, are going to, I'm excited to hear where they're going to end up. But also, like I said, I think it would be interesting when people say, you know, how do you get students and where do they come from and what do they do? These guys have as interesting a background as anybody we've had, you know, other than probably Maurice, who was like a music producer in Japan before he decided to come.
Right. And the DJ.
Yeah, so
or James Appel, the journalist from England. And actually before they do what you suggest, which I think is a good way to start this, I will say this, Joe, I have never met either Taylor or Ben in person, which is crazy. So we started this during the pandemic of 2020 when they joined my class in fall of 2020, got to know them via our Zoom class, and then they came on as producers that fall. And I have not met them in person, which is
And by the way, it's crazy and it sucks.
We will meet soon enough in person. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, guys, why don't we just start with each of you kind of more formally introducing yourselves, take a minute or two to give a fun and informative intro.
Sure, absolutely. Well, thank you for having us. I mean, it's been an absolute pleasure being producers on the show. You know, and your class was phenomenal. It is surreal that we haven't met yet, and we will for sure soon enough. You know, I got to meet Joe. I'll have to have another longer hang with him as well. But yeah, I mean, so you know, I'm Taylor. A little bit more about me. You know, prior to the program, well, I guess let's dial it back. I did my undergrad at St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia. I was a finance major with risk management. I was a bond trader for a hedge advisory firm for 5 years at a company that there was a satellite office in Philadelphia, but there was also the headquarters in San Diego. So I got to go back and forth between those two offices a lot. I really enjoyed my experience, but you know, I kind of wanted to do something that was a little bit more passionate about. You know, I kind of hit my growth opportunities and wanted to switch it up. And in a weirdly enough, I got an email about the Columbia University Sports Management Program through Teamwork Online, which I had just registered for in during my undergrad, you know, just because I love sports and thought it'd be cool to see what was going on. And you know, I kind of felt good about it, applied, and I went through the information session that the email was advertising and applied and told my job, and they were super supportive. The president and CEO wrote one of my letters of rec, and I got out of my old job a week before the pandemic hit. So the markets crashed and burned, and I missed all the madness. So it kind of worked out really well. You know, and then I've thrown myself into this program ever since. And you know, obviously I love sports, really passionate, played pretty much everything growing up, was a soccer player, striker, youth trainer, played hockey, was my main sport, was a goaltender because I was absolutely obsessed with Patrick Waugh as a kid. And I had 7 jerseys before I graduated elementary school. He was my absolute idol. That's why I played goalie. That's why I love the Avalanche. The Broncos won the first 2 Super Bowls when I was a little kid. Made an impression on me. It differentiated me from my twin brother. I have family out in Denver, and it just kind of stuck. So the Denver, you know, fan base, you know, just kind of clicked. And then 2003, they got Melo. The Nuggets started to get a little bit more exciting, got really invested into the Nuggets. Obviously, now they have Jokic, and it's even more fun to be a Nuggets fan. So that's why my fanhood resides in Denver. It's actually just there for my 30th birthday last weekend. It was a lot of fun.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. So, and then, you know, so in terms of going forward, you know, I would, you know, I have that analytical background. I would love to work in hockey analytics. You know, I think we're hockey operations. That space is definitely somewhere where I would love to be. But I'm also looking into the mental health of athletes. I've always kind of been passionate about mental health space. If there's one little social cause that I feel like I have an expertise in, that would be it. So I have a training in dialectical behavioral therapy and would love to be able to use that. But we'll see. I don't know if I want to get my doctorate quite yet. So we'll finish the program strong and then go from there with where we are heading. But those are my 2 potential paths and a little bit about me. So
I'm glad Taylor's so boring.
Excellent.
I had no idea he was a twin. I just learned that too. So
yeah, for sure.
By the way,
I'm just taller than him. So we definitely look like brothers, but we're not identical for sure. So,
so now that you mentioned that, there are at least 4 sets of twins in our program right now. Did you know that?
There are a few. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Anyway, go ahead, Ben. Good luck.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Good to be here, Ben Walsh. Appreciate, you know, Joe and Tom, you guys bringing us on to be producers. It's been a fun ride. I'm definitely sad to pass the reins off to the next crew, but part of the program. So like Taylor, big shocker here. Also into sports growing up. Both my parents were collegiate athletes. So I actually grew up on the sidelines of my dad's soccer team.
Where did they go to school to, Ben?
Both my parents went to Harvard. So,
see,
I did not apply to Harvard. You know, a lot of people are always like, oh, but your legacy. And I'm like, well, have you seen my grades? They reside in the B+/A- range. So unlike Taylor, I do not have one city from which my fandom comes from. My family actually moved all around. I grew up in Connecticut, Had a stint out in Cleveland during the prime then Cleveland Indians years in the 90s. Wonderful place to grow up. The neighborhood sports scene was popping, I guess I'll just say that. So grew up playing soccer, hockey, and baseball. Family moved to Phoenix in the middle of the 7 seconds or less era. And interestingly enough, I played one season of organized basketball as a kid, sat on the bench as an eighth grader with the seventh graders. But it was really during that time period that basketball and the NBA in particular came across my radar. Ended up matriculating at Carleton College out in Minnesota, not to be confused with the Carleton University of Canada. Played on the varsity soccer and baseball teams there. Great experiences. Not to forget my experience with the club hockey team, which was arguably more fun than both of those other ones. And then I was kind of a classic case of the person who wanted to stay close to sports, didn't necessarily have a background in the business of sports, but really wanted to stay as close to the competition as possible. So I graduated in 2014, got a few jobs at a couple different boarding schools out here in Connecticut. Shout out Foreman School, shout out Salisbury School. So I, you know, spent my early professional years basically making sure that kids didn't kill each other in the dorm rooms, making sure that the noise stayed down, teaching history, coaching soccer, coaching baseball, a little bit of an interesting experience coaching thirds basketball, although it was probably right at my level. And then after a few years of doing that, I got looped in with a really exciting club soccer program called Black Rock FC. That was effectively providing off-season training and college placement for some of the really elite talents that are coming out of that space. Right now we've got a couple players playing in the MLS in 2 short years between my being with the program and those kids graduating high school and college. They're already making their mark. So really excited. Jacob Schaffelberg of Toronto FC and Ifu Achara, also of Toronto FC. And I know that we've got more that are on their way once they finished up their collegiate career. So really exciting opportunity to work with some really bright kids, wonderful kids, great talents. And coming from around the world, that's one of those unique bits about working in the boarding school space is that, yes, you know, are 50% of your students from Fairfield County? Absolutely. But the other 50% are coming from all over the world, and particularly in the soccer space, which was really exciting for me to have an opportunity to get to know those kids and work with those kids. And my experience with Black Rock is ultimately what kind of pulled me back into the sports specific space. I love teaching history, but ultimately I wanted to learn more. I wanted to know, you know, how I could do my job better. And that's what led me to the Columbia program. So, you know, like Taylor, I ended up applying the tail end of 2019, actually toured Columbia's campus with Roosh, shout out Roosh, the week before COVID. So luckily got in, had a chance to see the campus, meet some of the staff, meet some of the students. And you know, the decision was pretty much made. If I got into the school, that's where I wanted to be. And, you know, a week later I got my acceptance and I also got word that I was going on unemployment. So I had my first experience dealing with the government in that sense, moved home to New Canaan, Connecticut, just down the road from Tom. Still remember reaching out to you, Tom, and being like, hey, you want to grab coffee? And you're like, I don't think that's a good idea. So we still have a year plus long coffee date that we need to execute.
Yes.
But
I think we can actually turn that coffee date into a lunch date, if not an all day date.
For sure. So, you know, it's been an interesting year. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about it. And I'll be quiet in a second, so that we can get on to some of the other questions. But, you know, I've been on the family plan since April, 2020. It's been great, spending time with my parents and doing Zoom from my sister's old room. And here I am still on the family plan. It's been a pretty crazy semester with the change to in-person. I'm getting that commuter experience, which is a story for another time, but life is good. And, you know, whether in person or on Zoom, I feel like program's done a good job supporting us. And, you know, this producing the Cusp Show has definitely been one of the bright parts of my week. So thank you for having us.
Hey, it's our pleasure, and we thank you. So speaking of the show, you guys witnessed a lot of interesting interviews. Any thoughts, any memories, any anecdotes, takeaways from your time as producers? Taylor, why don't you go first?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we've really been blessed. We've had some incredible guests, you know, especially it feels like this year, like every week, is just everyone has been absolutely, you know, incredible. But a few episodes stick out in my mind. So particularly, I really, really enjoyed the Juneteenth episode with Bryant McBride, formerly of the NHL. You know, that one was really, really cool. I mean, I could listen to him talk all day. I really, really enjoyed that. Also really loved Kevin Carroll, fellow St. Joe's Hawk alum. So that was another really a longer one, but really, really enjoyed his conversation. Just one of those engaging speakers who every word he said, I was captivated. I also liked,
well, if they could bottle his enthusiasm and energy, he would be a very rich man. Cause that guy,
I know, right? Like instead
of it's funny, guys. It's funny you said that one, because I think I told this to Joe. I hadn't met him until that podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those people you meet for the first time within a minute or two. I was just like blown away. Like, this guy has something special. And that was a really fun conversation. What an inspiration he was.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I have a Kevin Carroll postscript that I'll get to after Taylor talks, by the way.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. No, absolutely incredible. I really love the faculty podcast we actually did to round out last year. It was really, really cool. Obviously, having a lot of professors, and then some of the professors that I didn't have yet that I'm either having now or getting to know outside of the program since I didn't get to take them. So that was a really cool episode when we had like all of the faculty on at the end of last year. So I would also add to the list of amazing guests, Nicole Hogan, who now works for the New York Islanders. Really, really loved her story. You know, seeing someone from Australia who came into our program and is now working in the hockey industry and loving what she does is pretty surreal. And then also, I would love to give a shout out to Mike Tannenbaum, former executive and GM, you know, with the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins. You know, he was one of our professors last year, and it was pretty surreal to have him at the beginning of, you know, our podcasting journey here. He was on the Cusp Show, and then now as we're graduating, to see him on Pardon My Take, which was one of my favorite podcasts before doing this program, if not my absolute favorite podcast, and having him on in the same week of Hall of Famers, you know, it was NFL Hall of Fame week, Calvin Johnson, and then Peyton Manning, obviously being a big Denver Broncos fan, it was cool to have Mike Tannenbaum on the same week and go full circle all the way from the Cusp Show to Pardon My Take. So pretty amazing list of guests that we've had. Those would probably be my highlights, but what about you, Ben?
Well, I did have the Kevin Carroll episode just right front and center on my notes here as well. So I agree. And hey, maybe if we bottle that enthusiasm, we can sell it as a combo pack with some TB12 sweat, perhaps.
Oh, I'm thinking an NFT is the way to go, guys.
Oh, an NFT. Well, speaking of which, and Taylor covered some of my favorite episodes as well. For me, it was really cool to hear from some of the other guys that are currently in our program or who have been in our program. Two of my favorite episodes were Money Blade, which also still continues to be the coolest title for any of the episodes that we've done to this point. But hearing from Michael Alfrich-Tigg, who's in our cohort, who is the head coach of the Columbia fencing team, that was really awesome. You know, my older brother actually was a junior Olympic fencer growing up. He's got some stories. He, you know, purchasing weapons in airports on his trips as a 13-year-old down to Texas. You know, all kinds of crazy stuff going on in the fencing scene, but. Hearing from Michael was really cool, how he's kind of revolutionizing the sport of fencing, you know, bringing analytics into the situation, and then having a chance to see how he's interacted with some of his fencers. I know that Me and some of the other folks in our cohort are planning on going to some of his matches this year, which we better.
I'm gonna get a lesson, by the way.
Better do sooner rather than later. Yeah,
he's one of the first people when I was on campus that I actually went to his office and was like, I gotta say hi and talk to him. He's such a great guy.
Joe, if you do take a lesson, I would say go with Epe. I would avoid Saber. I would avoid Saber at all costs unless you want to be taking ice baths for the next week. the other podcast that I really enjoyed was with Lyle Adams, founder of Spry, the NIL platform. Just really cool to see somebody else who was a part of the program who's kind of jumping in on something that's totally new to all of us and seeing how he's doing. He's brought a bunch of other Columbia program alums in to work with him as well. So, you know, having an opportunity to hear from him on the podcast and connect with him outside of the podcast has been great. Lyle actually was the referee for our inter-cohort. Yeah. soccer match
on Ben's birthday.
So he had yellow cards and red cards. He had the whole outfit. Fortunately, no cards. Lastly, I would say the other two that really stood out to me were some of the more innovative episodes. So Green Park Sports with Tony Grillo and the Zed Run podcast were really interesting to me, just because, you know, coming into the program, it's like, all right, you know, you're aware of the NBA, you're aware of, you know, some of these different leagues that are popping up, but to hear from some of the folks who are working on these kind of other, literally like otherworldly meta, you know, universe style innovations has been really cool. So Joe, Tom, we'll have to hear an update on how your stable is doing at the end of this podcast.
Hey Ben, it's on the blockchain, so you can go look for yourself.
Go check it out.
Transparency is beautiful.
Well, hey, I try to avoid going close to any of the sports gambling stuff because I know that I'm certainly prone to. I think I have certain addictive tendencies, and I know that getting into Zed Run would be. Let me just put it this way. I am, yes, as you said, currently unemployed, and I need to make sure that I keep my finances straight. I will just leave it at that. And then lastly, the last two that really stood out to me, the Right to Dream episode that we just did with Eddie Mensa was awesome. I've had a chance through my time teaching at schools and working with the BlackRock program to work with a lot of the Right to Dream students. And so to hear from the guy who's in charge of it all, the guy that's leading this wonderful program that's helping provide opportunities for some of, you know, Ghana's brightest young kids was really special to me on a personal level. And then, I mean, the podcast that probably was unlike any other was The Dark Side of Boxing with Lou DiBella.
I was waiting for someone to talk about Lou DiBella.
We recorded that a couple of weeks ago, and to really hear from somebody on an emotional level, kind of looking back and reflecting on his life in a sport that, to be honest, is quite complicated, I think was really fun. You know, I think people have the tendency to come on podcasts and let loose a little bit, but, you know, really felt like he was giving us, you know, his real take on his experience in the industry. So those were really the episodes that stood out to me. There's so many more, but I'll leave it at that.
All amazing episodes. There's one actually that I don't know how it's escaped my mind. That was, I think, one of the most surreal ones for all of us as well, which was Mark Messier in March, Hall of Fame New York Ranger. I mean, as a hockey fanatic, I mean, I couldn't even believe we were on the same screen, just us and Mark Messier hanging out for an hour. That one was pretty surreal. And now he's on, you know, he's on the actual broadcast now. Was he with TNT or ESPN? I can't remember. I'm still getting used to who's on which one now that they switched. Yeah, I think he's on ESPN.
He's got a book, by the way. Let's tap Mark book that he did with Jimmy Roberts just came out.
Yeah, and I'm seeing his Akiza CBD water like every.
Has
like,
a CBD
all
water
over too. So
it was this big promo thing. Yeah, at the moment.
That was pretty surreal.
You know, I was going to say, Ben, that I'm glad you brought up Lyle and Spry for a specific reason. When Joe and I started this, I had really been influenced. I was an early podcast devotee when Apple put it on my iPhone, I think in 2014. And what I just really appreciated is how people opened up more. They were just more honest. There was no time limitations. In the early days, there was no advertising. And I just really appreciated the fact you get to know people a lot better in a podcast than a typical interview you'd see at an industry conference or in an interview on TV or something like that. And I had read about and learned and studied the StoryCorps initiative, which is the idea from the Library of Congress to capture, quote, human being stories. Everybody's got a story. Whoever you are, wherever you live, whatever age you are, you got a story. And they literally set up mobile recording studios around America to capture people's stories. I think it's still intact. Well, StoryCorps. And I believe, I know at various points when people ask me about the show, I say, I think of it as the StoryCorps of the sports business, like all different kinds of stories. And what I like about the Lyle story, and there are plenty of others, but there's an example of a guy with a great education, an impressive resume, worked at Uber for what, 5 years or 7 years? He probably could have gone anywhere he wanted in the sports business, but he chose to be an entrepreneur and do the hard work of an entrepreneur. And I have a huge amount of respect for entrepreneurs. And that's Stuchin, who's a good friend of mine, and Joe's industry guy who runs the digital media stuff for the NFL, the biggest, baddest league in America. And to see the two poles of literally, you know, guys that are just doing startups from scratch, and then people from the leagues and everybody in between, to me, is one of the really fun things about this. And hopefully more, the reason why I think it's really important is for the young people in the program, they can see when they look at the thing called the sports business, there's just so much opportunity along that continuum from large companies down to small. So I think of our old producer, James Appel, who's now, as Joe probably knows, working for Verizon in a marketing role, and a guy like Maurice who went into esports, and you know, the list goes on and on. So it's just a reminder that there's a lot out there, a lot of options out there, and it's good to hear the stories, and hopefully it provides a little inspiration.
I would just say to the StoryCorps comment, I don't think there is a media product that has made me tear up on a more consistent basis than StoryCorps. You can catch my eyes welling up at 7:30 in the morning when I'm driving to work, listening to NPR, and StoryCorps comes on and I'm like, uh-oh, here it goes, here it comes. So that those emotional connections and the stories and StoryCorps, and I have not cried on this podcast yet. Maybe today's the day, but we'll see.
We'll see if we can make you cry. Joe, where do you want to go next?
I'd like to know from these guys, the biggest surprise that you've learned both in the industry and, in the classes that you've taken, especially since neither one of you took my class, but that's a different story. And then also what are you most excited about going forward? Like what are the opportunities, not just for you, but you see for other people in the industry? So what'd you learn the most and what are you looking forward to the most?
You want to go back?
Silence.
I'm trying to think of the biggest surprise.
Good, Taylor, you go first then. Taylor's ready to jump.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's funny because I guess, you know, as much as I pride myself on having a wide breadth of knowledge throughout all the sports industry, you know, passionate, played everything, there is one space that I am not an expertise in, and that is definitely the college and the NIL space. Speaking of Lyle, and you know, he was one of my partners in one of my first group projects, and you know, I you know, have a lot of other friends in the program who are really passionate about NIL. So the more and more as the world is learning about, as NIL's been unfolding and there's different legislature and different ways of people capitalizing on it, that has been probably the biggest just learning experience for me. So that would definitely be one. Second, I guess I would say probably just the whole navigating the sports industry during the pandemic, you know, seeing how everyone reacts and, you know, not only just from a business standpoint, but from a fan standpoint, coming into, you know, being able to go to games, not go to games, what are, you know, wearing masks, who's going, you know, able to go when, where, why. I mean, there's all kinds of different tolerances, and it's been kind of a roller coaster to think about where we started when we came into this podcast and where we're at now. We're kind of at full capacity yet. We got this Delta variant. I mean, it's just been kind of surreal. It's nothing like, you know, any of us have ever experienced or even envisioned when we started or wanted to get into sports. So just kind of the roller coaster that is the novel coronavirus pandemic, I guess, would be the biggest, surprise to me. But I think we've been continually, learning and growing. And if anything, when we get out of this, even though it's not going away forever, I think, we'll be even better, equipped to handle any adversity that comes, after this. So.
And yeah, I would say the biggest surprise for me actually couples with the thing that I'm also most excited about, which is, when I originally applied to the program, I was doing so under the assumption that I was, going to stay in the school space, that I was going to graduate from the program and look to get into interscholastic sports in the form of, athletic departments. And basically since joining the program, I've actually pivoted significantly. And so I'm maybe not surprised, but excited by the fact that I'm looking to hop left to right here and go from the sporting experience within schools to exploring some more opportunities on the team league level. And that's, I would say, has been exciting, but also it's been a little bit anxiety producing as well. I always kind of saw myself as somebody that was a good fit for schools. It was where I was comfortable. It was where, I'd had a lot of success in my life, but by the same token, I had never really had the opportunity to experience the broader sports industry. And so something that's been really exciting for me as being a part of this program is having the opportunity to do some internships with some companies that are not necessarily school-based, to hear from so many people, yes, some which are working in that, college athletics or Right to Dream high school space, but exposing myself to some of those other opportunities that are out there has been really exciting for me. So, moving forward, that is the big question. Where am I going to make my entry into this space? As I've heard 1,000 times, it's the kind of get your foot in the door clause. So that's been my primary focus over the past several months, has been trying to figure out where within this huge industry I might be the most useful and what's going to pair well with what my hopes and dreams are for the next 10 years of my life, because, as somebody that's kind of moved all around throughout my life, I think I'm the kind of person that will try to play the ball where it lies in the moment. But I'm also somebody that's quite flexible and not afraid to pivot. So we'll see where that ends up happening.
All right, related to that, Ben and Taylor, you guys got to hear the answers to the question we ask everybody. Can you please give us and our students some career advice, some career thoughts? You were on the front lines of all those dozens and dozens and dozens of answers over the last year and a half. Did that help you? Was that valuable stuff? And if so, what key takeaways do you have just from that in the aggregate?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, it was, both encouraging, to get such great advice, and also validating that, current practices are in the long term going to be, effective and worthwhile. I it's funny, whether it was said explicitly in this way or not, almost everyone had some kind of version of, be authentic and be yourself and, go towards what, play to your strengths in some regard, some kind of twist on that. And that's all, all you can really, ask for is to be yourself and try to, dominate in a space we want to be in. So that was really, really good to hear. Obviously a lot of people had, networking advice and other things like that, but a lot of passionate answers about how to stay smart. And I've, continually, I love the score. I gotten even more and more into Twitter thanks to you, Tom. And, there's even just having the resources, knowing people, knowing, where to look online. I mean, even just staying educated on top of your game can lead you to some surprising pathways to opportunities. And that's even how I got my summer internship. One thing led to another, and you know, you meet connections and you find out different spaces, and all of a sudden, you know, you have a placement. So definitely a lot of good advice. And we've had a lot of smart people on this program, on this podcast, and from our program. And, you know, I definitely, everything that's been said, I take to heart. So it's been very valuable.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, we got pretty much every angle of advice through all the folks that we had on. But, you know, being present, being engaged, asking good questions, and communicating are the big ones for me. And I would say, from a student standpoint, speaking student to student, to be honest, speaking to myself a little bit as well, it's really just keep the faith, you know, trust in yourself, trust in your abilities. You know, we've all been turned down by employers that we wanted to work for at one point or another. But, you know, making sure that you believe in what you can do, even if you're not exactly sure what that might be now or in 10 years or 20, 30, 40 years. I mean, I'm sure Tom and Joe, you guys have pivoted to certain degrees here and there. But as Taylor said, it really comes down to knowing yourself and knowing the ways that you can help other people succeed in what they're doing. And so regardless of where you end up and what it is that you're doing, I think that's really the thread that stands out to me is, you know, how can you be there for other people? Because at the end of the day, you know, just like we learned as kids, or, you know, as weekend warriors playing the sports that we love to play nowadays, same thing runs true in the office and working in team environments. So supporting others, I think ultimately is the best way to support yourself and your cause as well.
So it's funny, Tom, Ben, as the line in the old song used to say, coming from the son of a preacher man, right, mentioning keep the faith actually is pretty good. I like that.
And, yeah, don't check my church attendance, though. Yeah, okay, yeah. Don't check my church attendance.
You know, it's interesting, yeah. It's interesting to hear, you know, of course, the advice we got in every show was be short-sighted, useless, and greedy, too. You know, you forget to mention that. Everybody always talked about that, too. But, you know, I think it's, you know, the reason why we've been doing this now for almost 6 years and is to hear the voices that are sometimes not the biggest, but often are the most intriguing. And the beauty of it is I think that we learn something. I mean, I learned more about Taylor in his first 5 minute kind of soliloquy than I did the entire year that we've been doing this. So, and I think that's tremendously valuable, and it's great for you to hear that, but also, as Thomas pointed out time and again, the shout out to the people who happen to listen to this to tell us who else we should be talking to. So, you know, we're going to be looking at you guys to, you know, kind of throw some guests as you go from the unemployed to the employed pretty soon too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one key takeaway I believe has been quite evident in from virtually all of the guests, Joe, when we asked them to tell their career journey, and you guys hopefully can appreciate this by this point, no one had it mapped out. No one knew what was coming. No one could predict where it was going to go. And the reference to Robert Frost's poem, you know, with the famous line, way leads on to way. It's like, you just get out there, as Joe says, you just show up, you know, you just work hard, you be a good citizen of the industry, you meet people, opportunities will come up. It's inevitable. And everybody who told their stories, you guys have to admit, virtually everybody, except maybe for a guy like Messier, you know, who was a high level prospect as a hockey player, even as a teenager, no one really had it mapped out to the point where chance and serendipity wasn't a really big part of their careers. Yeah. You know, the fateful phone call I got when I worked in a publishing company where my friend there knew somebody at the NFL. That's how I got into the NFL, was through my friend saying, hey, you should talk to a guy. He's looking around for somebody in publishing. Yeah. Anyway, there's a zillion examples of that. I really think that's an important takeaway from all of these conversations, because I know there's a lot of anxiety with people, young people in general, about employment and future career development. And certainly the program, where there's an expectation that in a pre-professional program, there'll be lots of opportunities. But whether it's a chance to meet all these guest speakers that come into the classes, where you can have a nice, warm connecting point with them, or in your guys' case, you know, meeting them through the podcast or whatever, there's just so many ways to actually activate that advice, in my opinion. Mm. And I think the smarter students and more successful students as it relates to career development are the ones that actually think about that and act on it.
Yep. And, you know, I think the best example before we kind of let these guys go, one of the ones that sticks out when you talk about that is, for those who haven't listened to the podcast where we had Nick Nurse, the head coach of the Toronto Raptors, on, you know, he talked about randomly driving by an arena when he was coaching in the Continental Basketball Association, deciding to stop in, and it launched a career in coaching that he never would have thought he was going to have. So amazing. So.
Yeah. And Joe, I think related to that is I think my favorite takeaway from the career stories of 2021 is the answer from Roman Taroni of ZedRun. How did you get the job? He was an early ZedRun aficionado, went into the Discord channel of ZedRun, which was pretty small at the time, and interacted directly with one of the chief executives at Virtual Human Studios, suggested that they hire somebody in the US. And I think it was within a couple of weeks he was hired. And to me, I mean, I was blown away by that story. And it's a reminder to everybody that fortune favors the bold. Put yourself out there, ask for the order. You got nothing to lose. If he did not do that, he probably would still be unemployed, because he admitted, if you guys remember, he was unemployed at the time. So good for him. Cool. Anyway, if you guys want to shoot a couple of questions to us before we wrap, happy to answer anything you got on your minds.
Well, I was curious, I guess, are some of your favorite moments during our time, you know, here? Obviously, we listed a ton. It's okay if they're mutual. And others, I guess, any advice for us as we transition out of here? I mean, I we've heard from a lot of great people, but both of your input are extremely valuable to us. So we'd love to hear.
And I honestly can't remember which ones were when. But Robert Hess, rhymes with chess.
Well, no one. But Joe, the good news is no one else listening will remember either. So go for
it. Yeah. So our chess one is really important. I thought that was a lot of fun. No, but every one of them, I think we listened to something different. I mean, that's kind of the goal, and we try to go into it looking at who our guests are, just to have something different. We've had so few repeat guests. I mean, we've had probably Zach Wiener, Len Elmore, Scott Rosner, obviously. Buster Scher.
We've had Brian Bryant a couple of times,
Brian McBride a couple of times. But, you know, I think the goal is to try and find a little bit of a nut or, you know, another acorn on the tree that we haven't touched on. And the beauty of it, and if you look at the last week even, Tom, with crypto and all the other things that are going on, it's kind of an endless flow of what we can do that we have never touched on. And frankly, when we started this 5 years ago, probably would have never known. At that point too.
Yeah. And I think that's no, absolutely. And the are you know, related to that, Joe's, I think, in answering the question, one of my favorite shows from 2021 was Will Leach, founder of Deadspin. So I had an image, I shared this with Joe, I believe. I had an image of Will Leach because I was a reader of Deadspin and I followed his career and I read him in New York Magazine and stuff like that. He was completely different than I imagined. And I loved his honesty, his authenticity, his quirkiness, and I mean that in a positive way. People that can be really honest and open and authentic in these conversations, to me, is the most valuable stuff. When I'm listening to podcasts other than The Cusp Show, and people are just bullshitting their way through answers and saying the same old, I literally just don't listen. I just stop. Yep. And you can tell with people. On the other hand, when people are really honest, and one reason, whether you love them or hate them, guys like Joe Rogan, Howard Stern, Tim Ferriss, I mean, all different types, three really different examples. But one reason they're so successful is they get people to really open up and be honest. And there are times when these guys go deep, 90 minutes, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And some people say, well, how could they possibly do a show for 2.5? Well, if it's a good conversation, it works. But the burden and the onus is not just on the interviewer, it's on the guest to be really good, kind of bringing it in the best way possible as an interviewee. And Joe and I often say, when we think about people we want to talk to, the ones that at least we know or know of, we try to be discriminating and finding people who would be willing to be a little bit more open. Because God knows that is not the case, for example, at a lot of industry events, where there's just a lot of corporate speak and stuff like that. And sometimes it can be helpful and interesting. it's not the same. I think you guys know what I'm saying, like a podcast conversation. So anyway, Will was an example of that. And boy, what an interesting career he's had as a journalist.
Cool.
Yeah, I've got one question for both of you as well. And it's a little bit of a two-parter, but if you could have any guest on this show, please pick one who is currently active and then one from the past, somebody who is no longer with us, dating as far back as human existence, and any thoughts on who you would love to have on the pod.
Wow. I wish you had given us advance notice of that.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I'll give you one. Go ahead, Joe.
No, go ahead, Tom.
Okay. So for current, all three of you know my bias with this individual. I would love to have Ted Leontis on the show.
We could do that.
Yeah, and we probably can, because you know both Ted and I know him. Joe and I know him slightly, and Joe's friends with Zach, and I've met Zach too. But one reason is, and you guys know this about me, I love how he is able to explain the craziness that is the future we're facing, you know, with technology and digital and stuff like that. And he breaks it down so simply and so elegantly in virtually every time he speaks publicly. So when in the early, one of the quotes that will probably live throughout history of sports and entertainment business is when he described the early NFT craze back in, I think Q1, I can't remember the exact date of this show, but he was on a panel and he called this the birth of a new internet. And I hear stuff like that and I'm like, okay, if a guy like Ted Leontis is saying birth of a new internet, I'm paying attention, because he has been right all along. He goes way back. He was an entrepreneur as a young man. He sold his original media business when he was 27 years old. He's always been ahead of the curve, and he speaks when he's in public way more authentically, in my opinion, than most other people in his position. So Joe, maybe we can make that happen in 2022.
Yeah. And I think in addition to Ted, there's a bunch of coming attractions who I think, you know, we will have on eventually, who people may not know about. Brian Polian being one who we're going to have on at some point soon, associate head coach at Notre Dame, who did a really cool piece with us on the faculty on how to engage with millennials. I think Val Ackerman, we haven't had on yet. I'd love to have Val on and talk about women's sports and her background. You know, we never had David Stern on, although he said he was going to do it before he passed away. The person I would love to go back in history and have, because I know his background and I know probably more than most people, is Vince Lombardi, and what he meant as a teacher and the value that he put into teaching. And to pair him on a podcast with somebody like Bill Belichick would be really interesting, to have them talk about how they influence people, kind of like what we're going to do with Brian Polian, I think would be tremendously, you know, impactful. And as far as people we've had near misses on, we had a near miss with Brian Koppelman. I hope we're going to get him on at some point. You know, he said he would like to do it given his busy schedule now that Billions is over. So, you know, lots and lots of, you know, we would love to have on.
Joe,
so,
I just thought of another one, and I think you either know her or can get to her, and hopefully she'd be willing to do it. I'd love to talk to Billie Jean King.
Yeah. So
that would be a good one for 2022. I think that would be great.
By the way, Annie Duke, a Columbia graduate, is another one.
Oh, yeah. Well, you talked about having her on before. That would be cool, too. Yeah. But I'll mention one last one from the past. Mm-hmm. So you guys know I spent 8 years of my career at the NFL. The father of, I mean, he will be considered the father of the modern sports industry, would be the former commissioner of the NFL, Pete Rozelle, who is a legend for those who know the history of sports business and NFL.
And a PR guy. Started as a PR.
Originally had a PR guy, but he became a savvy businessman.
Yep.
This is when I say history is when history is written. It's already been written about that era of the 60s and 70s. But the innovations he brought and his ability to work with the owners and bring the NFL to the forefront, essentially replace over the course of a, I don't know, 15 to 20 year period, replace Major League Baseball as the pastime of America. I mean, people still use that phrase, but it's definitely the NFL. You guys know that from metrics. Was really just an amazing story. And his instincts about how to use the media, how to use PR, how to build a storyline, the development of NFL films. Think about that. They created, they were the first, he was the first visionary to build a real brand around a sports business. David Stern, I believe, picked that up in the 80s and 90s, obviously, and then and brought that on a global basis and was really aggressive in digital. So he's like one step behind. But, you know, Joe and I had the good fortune of dealing with him a little bit while he was alive. But I never got to meet Pete Rozelle. He had retired by the time I joined the NFL. Mm-hmm. Tagliabue was the commissioner at the time, who did a good job in his own right. But Pete Rozelle is a legend. And anyway.
You know, and one thing I will say is the frustration, and literally as we were on this, I got a text from someone who I thought we were going to have on. Her name is Jen Rottenberg, and she's got an amazing job, an amazing background in the company she's at right now. She said she went to the corporate PR people and they're like, well, we don't really do those type of things where you talk about yourself. I mean, come on, get over yourself. And and that's, you know, I've had this conversation in my class, but also with other people in the communications business, where the gatekeeping and the protecting and the, you know, oh, you know, why would we do that? And kind of being a little bit too full of ourselves. And there are certain leagues I know where you have to go and get you have to have an MBA now to work at a league, which is kind of a joke given kind of where this has come from. So, but I think what we found with a lot of the guests that we have and we'll continue to have is that, you know, there's no air about most of them. I would say 99.9% of them. And they're willing to tell stories because they enjoy telling stories, not because they just want to talk about themselves. So that's kind of where we want to take this.
I always flinch a little bit when we reach out to somebody, Joe, and they bring in another person, the publicist or corporate communication. That's never a good sign.
Yeah.
And as one piece of advice to you guys, you've learned through the program and through all these conversations that when I speak of this continuum from the large bureaucratic monolithic companies of the sports business down to Spry and Zedrun and the startups, there's a really big difference in
overtime.
No, but I'm just saying for as an employee, there's a big difference because you're going to be encouraged in most cases in those smaller, less bureaucratic environments to be, to make more of a contribution, to be more outspoken, to be a little bit more ambitious, because that's the nature of small businesses trying to grow with smart people. But at a large company, you have to play your role in the bureaucracy, whether you like it or not. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's really different. And I've spoken to plenty of people where I've asked them, would they like to be on the show? And they kind of hesitate a little bit. I said, well, I don't know what I could say and can't say. I said, that answers my question. Thank you. I'll move on to the next person. So anyway, it's just something to think about because you don't want to lose what's really most important. Ultimately, it's not the brand of the company you work for at any given point in your career. It's your brand. It's your reputation. It's your name. It's your image and likeness. It's your NIL that you got to worry about. And one way to do that is by participating when you get invited. You know, probably next year you'll get invited to be alumni speakers. Like there's an alumni event next week, and maybe you'll be speaking in a couple of years at that on panels, guest lecturing, being a course assistant, whatever. That's all really good stuff because you're helping build your knowledge base and your network, and you're putting yourself out there to start building on that brand that everybody's got to build in one way or another. So,
cool.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense to me. Wait, so Joe, they asked for advice, a little bit more advice on their careers. So what are you going to say to that? I just gave my answer.
Marry rich. No, just kidding. So,
I think
it's the same thing. I think that, you know, and we've said this before, is when you leave a job, you know, that hammer that you take with you suddenly gets a lot smaller. And the only thing that you take with you is the human capital that you have and the reputation that you have and how you treat people and what you do for people. So that, you know, when we've had Ezra Kuchar's on the DraftKings talking about getting stuff done, you know, what can you do to help me get from point A to point B? And then are you a good citizen? And you know, what do people say about you when you are not in the room? And it better be something at least moderately positive, because otherwise you're never going to get from point A to point B.
And sometimes you're going to be the hammer and sometimes you're going to be the nail, which is true with everybody in life and all walks of life. But I think one related specific piece of advice I'd say is, as you get older and you have more experience, you have more insights, you have more connections, whatever, you'll be asked for favors, for help, etc. And I'm always reminded of the famous book that Adam Grant, the very well-respected social psychologist, did called Givers, Takers, and Matchers, basically dividing the world into three types of personalities. People that are very selfish and they just take, 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 never help in return. People who are kind of thinking of it more as a quid pro quo, matchers, and then givers who just, whatever, you need some help, you need a favor, I'll do it for you. I'm not even, no strings attached. That's a really interesting lens to put this through, because you're going to be in an industry which, as you guys have learned, is crazily interconnected. To this day, I mean, Joe and I talk about this all the time, the amount of people you run across at different points in your career is kind of shocking sometimes as the decades roll by. So that idea of being someone in the either giver or matcher category is kind of important. So, you know, it's kind of like the love you take is equal to the love you make, you know, kind of the business version of that from the Beatles. Anyway, I think that's really important. And when you're riding high, sometimes you lose sight of that. We've seen that with people kind of in big jobs. Mm-hmm. And when you're low and you need it, you remember and appreciate the people that have helped you along the way. So cool. Anyway.
Hey, so last question, Ben and Taylor, where can people find you?
Yes, an appropriate question.
Yeah. No answer. That's not a good sign.
No, I know. I wanted to go first. Yeah, so I mean, on Twitter, we and on LinkedIn, we post our handles and everything in the bio. So, you know, but online, you know, feel free to reach out as well. I mean, I have no problem giving, if anyone's ever reached out to me, whether about the program, about the podcast, you know, I have no problem exchanging my phone number and email. Yeah, at TDBernardo33 on Twitter would, I guess, be the first place I would look, and then we can connect from there.
Cool. Ben?
Yeah, LinkedIn is definitely the quickest, easiest, most efficient way from my end. So hope to hear from you if you've made it this far on the podcast.
Cool.
everybody skips to the end for the career advice, I guess. Well, guys, thank you for sharing all your thoughts, and thank you most importantly for helping us out over the last year and a quarter. It's been a blast. You guys have been real sports, and I know this hasn't been easy with the pandemic, at both as students and as members of the Columbia community and our producers doing your jobs and things like that, but it's not lost on us how great an effort everybody made during that time. So we really appreciate it.
Thank you. The feeling's mutual. I mean, it is bittersweet. I hope we can still be involved in some capacity, even as
nope,
we
not allowed
transition, even if it's on a more personal level. I mean, we love you guys, and it's been a lot of fun. So
cool. Yeah. Well, we appreciate it, guys. And look, good luck with your endeavors post graduation next month. You will be fine. It's funny, I was just thinking of you guys this morning when I read probably the same article that maybe you guys read, I suspect Joe definitely read the story from Sportico, Joe, about the employment situation.
Yeah, very well done, by the way.
Len Perna and Scott Carmichael, another great guest that we had, which was to say that the industry, broadly defined, sports industry, is really having trouble hiring entry and mid-level people right now. And they said specific areas. One of them was analytics. One of them was sponsorship sales. One of them was ticket sales. So anyway, I don't want to keep rambling on advice, but just because you were to go, let's say, into a sponsorship sales job at age 30 or 29 or whatever, doesn't mean, as I like to say, it's a life sentence. It just means that was your proverbial foot in the door. So when everybody's looking at these opportunities right now, if you can keep that in mind, that there are a lot of jobs open, allegedly, and number two, there's a lot of new companies popping up. Should you be interested on that other side of the continuum? So the Dapper Labses and the Zed Runs and the Candies and things like that. Well, they're hiring people, and they're not hiring people our age. They're hiring young people. So anyway, just bear that in mind. We appreciate everybody listening. And I want to reiterate a point Joe made a minute ago or a couple minutes ago about our openness to hearing from anybody listening about ideas for the show and ideas for guests. We, this is for you guys, and we want to make sure that we keep up a good flow of interesting people to keep the tradition alive. So don't hesitate to reach out to Joe at Joe Fav on Twitter, me at ConvergenceTR. You can always find us through Columbia. But seriously, don't hesitate. We're all ears. Thank you all for listening. Final thank you to Ben and Taylor. Good luck, guys. Have a happy 2022. And we'll see you on the next show.